Betting on sports can be hard, but hiring Morgan & Morgan is easy. Morgan & Morgan is America's largest injury law firm. They have over 100 offices nationwide and more than 1,000 lawyers. Their fee is free unless they win. For more information, go to forthepeople.com/bestbets or dial pound law, pound 529 from your cell phone. That's forthepeople.com/bestbets. This is a paid advertisement.
The money.
That's what I always say. You always follow
yeah,
the money.
Yeah.
This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
Here we go. Welcome in. It is Follow the Money on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Mitch Moss, Pauly Howard with you live downtown Las Vegas from the Circa Resort and Casino. However, you're taking in the show today. For those of you watching on YouTube TV, Nesson Plus, Masson, watching slash listening on the brand new VSiN Watch app. Good afternoon, hello, and iHeartRadio as well. Huge program lined up, including Rich Gannon in 15 minutes, Sal Palantonio an hour from right now, Mike Palm, Matt Eumanns on the show as well. A lot to get into today, Pauly. What'd you think last night of the committee show? Here's the thing, right? Like, I think we're just going to be totally nitpicking at this point on what they potentially got wrong and teams that might be left out. We're always going to have something to kind of gripe about. That team should maybe be a little bit higher. This team should be in. That team should be out. But this is so much better than having the four-game nonsense or the BCS era where you couldn't make a case to bet any team outside of like four or five in the entire country. Now look at this. This is great. It actually makes it way better from a betting, you know, a future betting perspective, in my opinion.
Yeah, wide open. The odds reflect that. So many teams with a chance just to get there and make the playoff. And I love the addition with the little guy that has a chance too.
Yeah.
And the Boise story. It was unique and strange to see the new bracket now, how they do this and where they have these teams seated. But I echo Greg McElroy's sentiments that BYU got the shaft here. And again, we're doing this, and I don't care year in, year out, who the committee is, who the different chair is, whatever. They're asked, why is Miami 4 and BYU 9, even though BYU has a much better resume, and they say eye test.
Mm-hmm.
When Miami's in a dogfight and lucky to win some of these games. It's incredible. So you want to say, well, turnovers, punt returns, whatever. BYU beat Kansas State 38-9. They're in the top 25. They beat SMU on the road. They're top 15. That's as many combined wins in the committee's top 25 as Ohio State, Texas, Penn State, Tennessee, and Indiana combined.
Wait,
Come on, what are we doing?
How does BYU possibly not pass any eye test as of this point in the season?
Eh.
Right? And Miami, you can look at the games that they've been in late, and also the defense sucks.
Yeah, right. Where's your, you know,
it's kind of a big deal.
Game control and complete
right.
Team crap that we hear.
So that's they're always going to have a bias towards teams like that. They will.
Yeah,
that's part of the
Still now, I mean, they're in the Big 12.
I know.
Though. We're still
going
to do this.
I know. What if they're going to hear the same thing when they're 13-0?
I guess right. And the odds reflected it. They dropped. They're now $1.20 to make the playoff. Indiana got a bump. They're up to 230. Tennessee got a bump. They're up to 225. That's to make the playoff. But the BYU thing is, you know, to be sitting there at 9 and then Miami at 4 and the brand name bias checking in as well. Yeah, here we go again with that.
Well, so here's the conference count, right?
Mm-hmm.
SEC and Big Ten, each 4-piece.
Oh, sure. Great day for them. Yeah.
They
were the big winners. They love the Big Ten, too.
I can't imagine a scenario now. Are we going to get 5 in potentially from the SEC? Is that possible? I guess winner of Alabama, LSU, if they run the table. And then what if Ole Miss beats Georgia? And then both teams run the table after that.
Yeah.
That would be the angle.
I made one mistake yesterday. I left out Notre Dame. So assuming Notre Dame runs the table, they're in.
They are in.
Notre Dame, Boise, 4 from the Big Ten. And then what? 1 from the Big 12, 1 from the ACC, and then what we're going to do with the SEC.
That's kind of what we're looking at right now.
Yeah.
Because if Notre Dame runs the table, they are absolutely going to be in.
Well, how are you going to keep... How can they keep out BYU if they're undefeated, 12-0, and they lose and they don't get blown out in the Big 12 title?
You can't.
Yeah, right. So there's your 2, though, from the Big 12. I agree with you.
Although,
but it's squeaky bum time, though. I'm checking in at 9.
Of course. But that's the thing, right? They're already laying the groundwork for that. If that's the scenario and they are perfect for the regular season and they lose a game 27-24 and it's tight the entire way, they lose it at the gun, they're going to say, yeah, nope, sorry, not good enough. And then they'll have like a 3-loss SEC team in potentially and over them.
They're protecting Miami. So, you know, Miami can lose a game because they're already checking in at 4 and they're always talking about the eye test as well. But it's just, that was the big question mark coming in. How would they rank the one-loss teams, and what will we do with brand name bias, as Brett, we talked about with Brett McMurphy on Monday, with all these teams that they're up there in the rankings, but their resume stinks. There's no big win. I mean, the BYU, again, BYU, as many combined wins of the committee's top 25 as all these other teams combined. You have to be loving life, too, if you're Boise. Because Boise, the scenario there where you're ahead of the Big 12 champion, and then you lock in a top four seed. Some people were shocked by this. Paul Stone tweeted as well. Washington State at 21. And they're going to go 11-1.
Oh, they will.
And Boise pounded them.
Right.
So that's going to be a nice feather in the cap, too.
I believe.
Assuming Oregon's 12-0, Washington State goes 11-1. And if Boise wins out, it's like, hello, four seed.
I believe Paul Stone said in that tweet, he doesn't have them in the top 40, right? Or they should not be in the top 40. Uh-huh. And he's like laughing at 21. He's like, come on, let's get realistic with this. Also, here's going to be a problem, in my opinion, anyway. And when you put in, when you're going to stuff in four teams from the SEC and from the Big Ten or whichever conference it's going to be, that means at some point, because you only have 12 teams, you're going to get a conference clash right away in round one. I don't like that.
I agree with you.
Yeah. So we get to see Alabama and Texas right away in one of the first round games. That's crap.
Yeah, that's too much.
It is. I would much rather see something else. And I'm not saying that just because it's the SEC. I'm saying, you could tell me about any conference getting in four teams. I'm like, nah, I can't have a first round matchup between conference teams. Don't like that idea. The College Basketball Committee has done their best over the years to try to separate teams from the same conference as long as they possibly can, meaning they don't want a meeting in the second round if they can avoid it. Sweet 16, whatever, fine. If there's eight teams in, that's going to have to happen. Mm-hmm. But you understand my point. Like, this is just like, okay, I guess it's going to be the SEC and Big Ten Invitational eventually.
Yeah, but that's what they want, and that's the one thing that scared me, because then they threatened them, too. About, you know, they tried that nonsense with automatic bid stuff. Like, get the hell out of here. Automatic bids. What are you talking about? You could have a down year and we could have a good year. And that's, you're not going into the season guaranteed anything. You have to earn it on the field. But, you know, for the Big Ten and the SEC to kind of threaten the committee and everyone else saying, you know, we better get this many bids or we're going to do our own thing.
I'll tell you this.
That's not good for the sport.
The people who we personally know who have nice bets on Boise State at 200-1 to win the whole thing. If they do catch a break, if they run the table from here on out, and like a BYU slips up in the regular season, and Boise State finishes ahead of them, the Big 12 team, let's say, for example, they're going to be in the top four. They're going to get a bye. What if that's not Ohio State sitting there in the 5-12 matchup, and it's somebody else, and you have a ticket at 200-1 on Boise State for a healthy amount of money, and they catch a break in their first playoff game, and they can maybe win that thing to advance, you are looking pretty with a bet on them.
Absolutely.
At that big number.
Yeah, yeah. That's a good job. The other thing is, let's say BYU runs the table. They're still not going to have Boise a 12 seed. So will they give Boise a home playoff game on the Smurf turf?
Oh, please.
How good would that be, right? I don't want to hear about this small, you know, that doesn't hold that many people, all the other stuff. Mike Palm was just there, perfect timing. He's coming up later to talk about that. But that's why this is so great, that first round is on campus sites. And that's, to me, that's a no-brainer. Just go by the seed, don't screw them there, and that would be awesome if Boise got a home playoff game, whether they're the eighth or whatever it could be, how it plays out.
Here's what I would love. The committee to go above and beyond to keep them away from having a home game, right? So it's, I think, like 38,000 people. That's how big the stadium is. And if they say too small and we want to avoid weather games, and then I want them to put like Penn State in a home game and I want like 5 feet of snow.
Yes.
That's what I want to happen on a Friday night.
That's right. And the SEC has never had to deal with that ever.
No, they don't.
Right? All this neutral stuff, all inside, never weather scenario. Okay. Go to Penn State now when it snows and it's 20 degrees.
Or Ohio State, whatever. Any of these cold weather teams.
Perfect.
That's what we need to happen.
That's right.
But it's just to look at the bracket again. God, that is sexy.
It is. Right. Who's better at their job? Reese Davis or John King or Kornacki?
Well,
John King is the most, that's the most impressive thing.
Reese Davis is awesome.
Right.
But I don't know how anybody in the world can be like Kornacki or John King. And when they're up there in front of the TV and they're doing the touchscreen stuff and they know, have you ever memorized counties from Minnesota where you're from?
No chance.
I couldn't tell you.
State capitals, yes.
The capitals,
50, right. The 50 states, the capitals. For him to know
every county in every state.
And then he'll go back and tell you Biden in this 2020 and this county went this way. In 2016, Trump did that. And he can bring it up right there, right in the touchscreen. It just comes right up. I'm like, this guy, A+.
there's got to be, he's got to be, like Kornacki now is more into sports too.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
but he'll
he's
do that
there.
For,
yeah. He's okay, on there for the playoff
which is
spots.
Brilliant. But we should get more of something. Something needs to be built specifically for King to like give us on TV like more than one every 4 years. He's amazing at what he does.
That we need that guy from a prop standpoint, any sport.
There you go.
Just go back and say, here's what
this is what
done.
Happened. Yeah, 3 weeks ago, right. And this yeah. is the history of this. And then when a guy's at that number and whatever yeah. else, and he has it all memorized, how can you possibly memorize every county in every state?
It's going back to 2016. Yeah.
He has all that
go
stuff.
Longer than that.
Now let's go over here. Now you're going to notice like these metro areas that are all blue bubbles, and then the rural stuff. And the oh my God, it was unbelievable
did you
what
like,
he was doing.
Did you like Newsroom? I'd love that show on HBO
until the end. Yes.
Okay. It didn't end well. But I'm thinking just like if you're running that newsroom and that you just sit back, CNN, whatever, and you just throw it to him
here
and say,
go.
Let him cook.
You,
let him cook and let him go.
Do what you want.
Yeah, he's great. Did you like his line, too, about...
Oh, so there's a thing of beauty last night. So, and I happen to be watching John King because I think he is so incredible at what he does. So he's mentioning how Trump has the lead and it looks like it's going to be growing in Georgia and in North Carolina. And then they went up top, right? And at the time, Harris was leading in Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, like the blue wall. And he's pointing, like, if she maintains the lead, she's going to be fine. He looks right at the camera and he goes, it's early. Don't call your bookie. And I could not help. I don't even know what was said over the next minute. I just had to laugh. And I was like, thank you, John King. That was a brilliant line for addressing that part of the election. Yeah.
That was hilarious.
That was really, really good.
Yeah. I was watching when he said it, too. Yep. He's strong. He is strong, man.
That's a good question, though. Who's better? Yeah. I don't know.
They're perfect for our industry.
Yeah.
Or that NBC, like Kornacki. That guy's perfect for props
with
his memory and how he can use that touchscreen.
Up next, former NFL MVP Rich Gannon joins the program. We'll go over trades he liked and disliked yesterday on the deadline on Follow the Money as Visa and the Sports Betting Network.
Is Follow the Money on VSEN.
Every Wednesday at this time, we talk National Football League with former NFL MVP Rich Gannon. He is on the Progressive Guest Line. Rich, good afternoon. Thanks for the time as always. How are you?
Mitch, Paulie, great to be with you guys. Busy, busy day in the NFL.
Yeah. It was a very busy trade deadline day. What'd you make? I think the one that was universally liked the most was the Commanders trading for Marshon Lattimore. Would you agree with that?
I think so. I think when you look at where they're at right now, who would have thought that the Washington Commanders may go from worst in the division to first in the division? I think it's the play of their young quarterback, Jaden Daniels. But you look at them where they're at defensively. They've played a little bit better here the last couple of weeks, but you know, their pass defense hasn't been very good. They've been weak on the edges. You bring in a Pro Bowl corner and Marshon Lattimore. The situation in New Orleans wasn't going to work out. They fired their head coach. This is a really good player, guys. This is a guy that can lock down, play man-to-man. He's very physical. He uses his hands well at the line of scrimmage. He's really good when the ball's in the air. And this really helps them. I think when you look at teams like, you know, Washington, what Baltimore did, right? Teams that believe they're playoff teams, teams that believe they're good enough to win a division, where they address some weaknesses. I look at Baltimore, they bring in a really good receiver, obviously in Dante Johnson, and a really good corner in Tre'Davious White. And you look at where they're at. They're number one in run defense, and they're dead last in pass defense. They've given up more explosive plays, pass plays of 20 yards or more than any team in the league. So going out and adding a corner as well as a wide receiver was a good move for the Ravens.
Do you think Mike Williams can find something in Pittsburgh with Russell Wilson, or is that a lost cause?
I don't think so. Mike Williams, guys, before the injury, there's a couple things he did really well. He's a bigger receiver. He really ran the vertical routes well, the post, the go routes where he could use his size and his length. He was a good slant runner. I just think when you watch him in New York, it was a struggle. He missed most of the offseason program, never seemed like he was comfortable in the offense. He's a guy that's going to go to Pittsburgh now, another offense. It's going to take him a while to really, I think, get up to speed in terms of all the concepts and the terminology and the verbiage and the audibles and things like that. So I think he can help you in a handful of areas. I think he's a guy that you bring another productive receiver that has size and decent speed for the position. But I just don't think he's going to make the type of impact that, say, DeAndre Hopkins is going to make in Kansas City.
I know your family, once a Raider, always a Raider. What do you think of the direction of the organization's taking, and then coming off a game where you allow 40 points, they clean house with the offensive staff?
Yeah, you know what's interesting? The offense clearly has had issues all season. The offensive line hasn't been very good. They lose a couple tackles, left tackles. And, of course, Trey Henderson has 4 sacks in that game. So the quarterback position's held them back. They've got 19 giveaways, which is the most in the NFL. They haven't been able to run the ball all season. But here's the other thing, guys. In the last 5 games, you know, we talk so much about the issues offensively. They've got up 31 points a game. That's what their average, 31 points a game over this 5-game stretch. So they haven't played well defensively either. And now they're making changes to the coaching staff. They fire the offensive coordinator, the quarterback coach, the offensive line coach. And you bring in Norv Turner, and I just don't know. You know, obviously his son Scott's going to call the plays, but Norv is going to be another consultant. The Raiders have had a lot of consultants this year, and I don't know how much that's going to make a difference at this point in the season.
I think we could talk to you about this every single week, but we saw plenty of instances on Sunday and then Monday night where a team had a chance to maybe go for 2 and the win rather than seeing what's going to happen with the coin flip, and then overtime, they might not even touch the football, and it never worked out, not once this past weekend. What is your opinion on that?
You know, there's so many decisions that go into that, guys, and it's not just, you know, the score in the game, the situation in the game, the time on the clock. There's a lot that goes into it. The trainer coming up to you saying, hey, so-and-so has got a calf injury, or so-and-so, you know, we're struggling right now, or he's gassed. You're going to have to replace him. I mean, there's a lot of conversations that take place during the course of the game. Here's what I would throw out. I mean, it's easy to second guess, you know, Todd Bowles' decision. The only thing I would say is this. There was a handful of quarterbacks that when I was playing, that if you got in that situation, like, for example, Tom Brady and Peyton Manning, if you got into a situation like that at the end of a game, you had a chance to win it, right? Whether it was in regulation or overtime, and you didn't do it, and you rolled the dice that you're going to get into overtime and somehow find a way to get it done, almost always you came up on the short end of the stick. And you got to understand that you're at Arrowhead, you're going against the best team in football, a team that hasn't lost yet, hasn't even played their best football. And oh, by the way, they've got Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes. And that's just, I just can't take that chance if I'm Todd Bowles. I mean, all those factors that go into it, and some of the factors that we're not even aware of. But if I know that Patrick Mahomes is going to get an opportunity to possess the ball in overtime, I just got to make sure I end it when I have the opportunity.
Yeah.
Totally agree.
Yep, I'm with you. You said this a couple of months ago, too, about whether or not how many teams practice that, but the lack of imagination and creativity. The Giants are 0 for 6 this year on 2-point tries. And it's what are you designing? What are you doing all week?
Well, here's the other thing to keep in mind. Like, I think a lot of fans think, oh, go for two. You know, you convert 60, 70% of them. The normal conversion rate for a 2-point conversion is around 50%. This year, so far in the NFL, it's under, I think it's at 38%. So it's not a given that you're going to go for 2 and get it. Mm-hmm. The conversion rates and kicking it is up over 95%. So, you know, that's what drives me crazy when we're in the normal flow of the game, and we've got these coaches like in Philadelphia, Nick Sirianni in Philadelphia, you're up 16-0. I look at my 2-point conversion call sheet or card and says go for 1, and he goes for 2. Like, you got a 95% chance of making a kick, mm-hmm, and less than a 40% chance of the 2-point conversion. That to me is where I look at some of these coaches, and I think they're making some foolish decisions.
I do have a question to follow up on that with Sirianni. Twice in that game when he went for 2, I think the reason why is because Jacksonville was flagged on the touchdown. So they had it at the 1-yard line. Does that change your opinion on it? Do you have to go for 2 every single time by default when there's a penalty and you have it at the 1?
No, you don't. I mean, I think it's the situation in the game. It's the score in the game. It's how you're playing. It's what's your short yardage and goal line offense look like compared to their short yardage and goal line defense? Can we win at the line of scrimmage? Or do we have to get tricky and try and get on the edge of a defense? Can we knock them backwards to get a yard? And do we have a fullback? Or do we have a big, powerful runner that like a Derrick Henry? A big back that can, you know, Joe Mixon, somebody that can knock you backwards down inside that 1-yard line. That's a decision. You know, the Eagles have a Saquon Barkley, but, you know, I think sometimes Nick Sirianni has a history of being too aggressive, and he's fortunate in that situation, guys, up 16-0, up 22-0. It didn't come back and really bite him because Jacksonville had an opportunity to win that one at the end.
Hey, Rich, you know what they used to have not that long ago? They had the tush push. But it doesn't appear to be effective anymore with no Jason Kelce.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, he was as good as there was. They're still pretty good at it. I think teams have had you know, a couple of years now to really study it. And I think they're doing a little bit better job inside, but you do miss Jason Kelce. He was the best in the business at it. You still got a quarterback though, that can squat 600 pounds. That's pretty good at it as well. So it's certainly an effective tool to have in the toolbox.
We saw you on with Michael Lombardi. You have an MVP vote. How do you think that plays out, and who do you think your guy would be right now?
Well, I think it's a toss-up between two. I think when you look at what Lamar Jackson's doing, guys, he's on pace for over 4,000 passing yards and 1,000 rushing yards. That's never happened before in the history of our game. He's been phenomenal. My question is the sustainability. Can he continue to do that in November and December? He's not the biggest guy. He takes a lot of hits. And so you worry about the wear and tear on a quarterback like Lamar Jackson, who does miss a lot of practice time late in the season. The other quarterback that I think is flying under the radar screen, I don't know how this is happening, but you look at what's happened in Detroit with Jared Goff. Guys, he's been almost flawless here the last 5 weeks. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's completing over 83% of his passes, touchdown interception ratio. I mean, heck, they've got more touchdowns than they do in completions during that stretch. And they're really playing well, and he's a big part of it. He's surrounded by a great supporting cast, two great backs, good tight end, good receivers, one of the best offensive lines in football. But don't overlook the work that Jared Goff's doing right now in Detroit.
I think it's going to be tough to overlook him if the Lions go, let's say, 13-4, 14-3 in that range, and they are basically the one seed with a bullet in the NFC.
You know what helps, though? I would just say this, having won the award, a big national game, like in those last couple weeks, you know, a big game, a Sunday night game, a Monday night game, you know, a game like that where you have all those eyes on you and you go off, right? You throw for four touchdowns, you have a rushing touchdown, you do something special. It's certainly your body of work throughout the course of a 17-game regular season, but it doesn't hurt to make a splash or two in December.
I'm 98% sure I had you in one of my fantasy leagues the year that you won the MVP. So thank you. It was an amazing season. I believe I won my championship that year as a result. What game was it for you that did it? What was the primetime game?
I think it was a Denver game. I think we played Denver on Monday night. I completed like my first 21 passes or something like that. I can't remember.
Yep.
But that helped, right? And the good thing is that, you know, I was on a good team that was playing in a lot of primetime games, a lot of Monday night, a lot of Sunday night, a lot of Thursday night. Those late 4:25 starts on the East Coast. So, you know, that helps. If you're not on a great team and not getting a lot of those national games, it certainly makes it a little bit more challenging.
Yeah, that was such a fun offense. I loved Charlie Garner.
He was special.
He was so good in the offense. Everybody was, but it was a treat to watch. Rich, as always, thanks so much for the time today. We appreciate it.
You guys are the best. Thanks.
There you go. Former NFL MVP Rich Gannon.
He did 21 in a row.
21 straight.
Yep. Broke the record at the time.
That'll do it.
Wow.
That's what he needs. Big Lions playing primetime Sunday night. Let's go, Jared. 21 in a row against the Texans. We have a huge NBA card tonight. We will run down some of the key injuries you need to know, player props we like, and a new favorite to win an award. Details on that coming up next.
This is Follow the Money on VSiN.
Huge card tonight in the association. Big game, Golden State and the Boston Celtics. Boston at home. Now, this number's been all over the place. Yesterday, when we were talking about this game, it was 7. I actually think some spots had 7.5. I noticed it get down to as low as 5.5 today. Now back to 6.5 in the spot. Jaylen Brown is out for the third consecutive game.
Mm-hmm. Long hair, don't care. Well, like 25-4 without him the last couple of years.
I know. And by the way, this is how good they are. So far this season, he's averaging 25.7 points, 7.2 rebounds, and 3.8 assists, and he has scored over 20 points in every game he has played this year, and at least 25 in each of his last three games. And this is a different animal they're taking on tonight. Previous two teams were kind of garbage, but they are phenomenal. When they've been doing this without Porzingis.
Yep, right.
And now last two without Jaylen Brown.
Mm-hmm.
Here's part of the deal, is that we're starting to notice now some of these guys who are playing more minutes this year, and we're calling this team a lot deeper than they were last year. It's because we're finding out actually how good they are, like Peyton Pritchard. Through 8 games, 16 points per game, 1.3 steals, 4 made three-pointers, and 43.2% from downtown. He's leading all bench players in points and threes, and he is now your new shortest shot on the board to win the Sixth Man of the Year award in the NBA.
Wow.
I think that came out of nowhere.
Yeah.
I don't even know what his number was 2 weeks ago.
Yeah. How about Buddy Hield over 3.5 plus 165?
I noticed that number.
Yeah, there's going to be plenty of opportunities here. Number one, we like the Celtics, gave it out yesterday, back up to 6.5. It's the, you know, Steve Kerr revenge game and, you know, for what happened to Team USA, even though Tatum wasn't playing well. So any motivation the Celtics need, plus Golden State, while they're 6-1, they played a lousy schedule and the loss at home against the Clippers. So I just think Boston's too good, too deep, too many players, too many weapons, and they can run them out like they did last year and eviscerated them too. So, yep. But the Buddy Hield stuff, you're going to get plenty of opportunities here from three. I can't believe it's plus money.
Other books have 2.5 at like minus 170.
I'll take the 3.5 plus 160.
So would I in that spot.
Yes.
He's going to get, my guess is 9, 10, 11, 12 attempts again in this game tonight.
Yeah.
So when the attempts are going to be there, okay, I'll give you one more here that I bet. Jason Tatum, again, that's the angle here tonight, right? The chip on the shoulder, not treated well by Kerr at the Olympics. I agree with you, by the way. He was not playing well over there.
Well, shot was off, yeah.
He leads the entire NBA. He's averaging 13.3 points in the first quarter alone this year, shooting 60%, hitting 2 made threes every first quarter. His prop tonight is 9.5. I bet it over. I had to, partially because of the numbers, but also the narrative fits in about he's going to come out. And it went back to when I bet Anthony Edwards first quarter over against the Mavericks. You knew the guy was going to be pissed off about what happened in the playoffs last year. I had to bet him a first quarter over tonight. Had to do it. So I can't find anything on Pritchard for this game tonight. I don't see him being listed as out. So anyway, we have a few hours before game time. I think more stuff's going to keep popping anyway. Cavaliers in the 7.5 range at the Pelicans. Now, this was the angle the other day that I missed. You and I were actually both alerted about this before the game, but it's a total mess right now with New Orleans and how many guys they've been out recently.
Yeah. You have Zion tonight, though. I know it's been a mass unit and what's going on, but Cleveland 7.5, they should get whatever they want offensively. Undefeated, number one team in the league in offensive efficiency, 120 points per 100 possessions, and New Orleans has issues defensively, and I just think lay 7 on the road is not dangerous here. Just how good Cleveland is and keep this going and the winning and the shooting is contagious and what they're doing. Had the bad funk, the bad second half against Milwaukee where they couldn't make some shots and had some bad possessions, but they've delivered all season long. And I think they get it done here again. And New Orleans couldn't slow down Portland in the last game and gave up 118 points at home. So I am not going to get in front of this Cleveland freight train.
No, and Zion, by the way, is questionable for the game tonight. So there is that. Other big injuries to monitor for tonight. Questionable Anthony Davis for the Lakers. D'Angelo Russell and Austin Reeves were both upgraded, I think, to probable.
He's too high. Russell's 16.5.
Yeah, that's a big number for him.
I don't get that.
Hachimura, this could be big for the Lakers, obviously. He was doubtful, but then not that long ago, he was upgraded to questionable here for the Lakers, and the Grizzlies are laying 1.5 in the spot. Total is 231.5.
Yeah, Lakers are 21st in defense. That's been a disappointment, but got to have AD leading the league in points. See if they bounce back after getting humiliated by the Pistons. That cannot happen. That's unacceptable. A couple other things caught my eye. The Philly Clipper game, the soap opera and drama continues with Philly 1-6 on the year. How does Paul George points go up, but they're going against a tougher defensive team in the Clippers?
They probably think more minutes maybe tonight.
I don't know, 20.5 now. And you would think if it's a tight game, the ball has to go to Maxey and not George after what happened against the Suns. So I would say Harden over 9.5 assists, minus 130. He is number three in the league in assists. And I would take George under 20.5 points in that one.
All right. What do you make of the current total in this spot? It's a Clippers game at home with the wall. It was 216.5 a little bit earlier today, now down to 214.5.
Yeah. I'm all about the unders in that building, especially when the team's coming in for the first time.
Here's the thing. I think you got to bet them immediately as soon as the numbers come out for the Clippers.
That's right.
You know, limits are not going to be as high with the overnights, but we've seen now movement here for most of their games. Top of my head here, they've actually, you know, been going, or the totals here recently been going under with the money coming in, I should say.
Chris Paul assist up to 8.5 now.
I know it.
They jacked it up on us. He's gone over every game but one. So they're making you pay now. 8.5.
Well, so, yeah.
But it should be a high scoring game here against the Rockets, and we'll see. What was Wemby? Yeah, Now, they've been playing games with his three-pointers. 1.5, 2.5. It's 2.5 now under minus 190, which you're paying a steep price, but I like that under. I don't think he's going to hit three. And then I would go under his points as well. But we don't know what's going to go on with Pop, with health issues. But it's been Paul assists over and Wemby points under and threes under so far.
Yeah, I'm right now looking at the NBA Prop Bet Analyzer at vsin.com. Click on Tools at the very top of the screen when you're there. And when you click on Assist then at the Analyzer, you're exactly right, Paul. CP3 is 6-1 of the over his assist prop on the year. And the column to the right breaks down his record against tonight's total, because again, the number has moved up to 8.5. He is only 5-2 over that number on the year. So once these numbers start to get out of control like that, it's a good way to peek and say, you know what? He's been great when it was a lot lower. And now that the books have adjusted, he hasn't been so great. So always take that into consideration. There are a couple of guys tonight, like Christian Braun with his points prop. He is 7-0 over on the season. Tonight's point prop for him is 13.5. He's 5-2 over that number. It was around 9.5 for a minute. That one he was hitting every single night, no problem. 13.5, much more difficult. So something to keep an eye on for sure. Anthony Davis, 5-2 over 29.5. He leads the league in points scored per game.
Yep. Been great.
Yep.
How about Ant? Not tonight, but moving forward, averaging 5 threes a game. Buddy, 4.7. Ball, 4.6. If this continues, you mentioned the
Buddy Hield is averaging 4.6. Is that the number?
Yeah.
And 3.5 tonight plus 165.
I know, right? Isn't that odd? But Ant with his bleep-em line about being too many threes.
That's
averaging 5 a game. That's right. Great card tonight. So many sports in action. No better time to put the VSiN experts to work for you. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. Instant access. Every best bet, every host, every guest. 19 hours of live programming. Power ratings, better ratings, exclusive betting splits. Start your VSiN Pro subscription today as little as $9.99. See everything VSiN has to up your betting game. VSiN.com/subscribe. Get it now. Become part of the team. VSiN.com/subscribe.
I'll give you another one. The Hawks are playing the Knicks tonight. The Hawks actually covered their last game.
Finally.
Right. But they are 1-7 ATS on the year. The Knicks are laying a massive number on the road tonight against Atlanta.
Too much?
Well, that's the thing. Like, I know, I hate going back to last year. I hate betting this Hawks team.
What do you do with the total? Atlanta's third in pace. The Knicks are last. Atlanta going to dictate tempo? Knicks run with them? Knicks aren't that good defensively. The 20th defensively. Remember, it's a Tibbs team, but you bring in Cat and all these new faces. They've had problems getting stops.
Yeah, I think 226 might be a little bit low in this spot. Also, the Knicks team total against this just hideous defense. I think they could honestly get whatever they wanted as long as they just go out. If they get challenged tonight at all by Atlanta and they don't just screw around and put in like the third string guys the final 5 minutes, I think that 116.5 is very doable.
Top five in offensive efficiency.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm on board with that. Sounds good.
Trae Young's also been great to his assists, but that number's like 11.5 now, 12. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, but good card. You're right. I can't wait to watch this Warriors-Celtics game tonight.
How about your OKC Thunder? How high is this going to go?
That's seven and a half now?
7.5 in Denver. Oh, wow, the respect. I think they take them out, though. I like Westbrook under 7.5 rebounds.
Well, look at how these numbers have been moving, right? So if you're holding a pretty good ticket on the Thunder, if you bet that thing as soon as the number popped. It was, by the way, they had a day off yesterday because of the election.
Mm-hmm.
These numbers were out like on Monday night.
Mm-hmm.
Win Some, Lose Some is up next, and we'll touch on the two MAC games on the board tonight. This is Follow the Money on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Were you a winner last night?
Wow, winning.
Or was it a rough one?
Well, they can't all be winners, can they?
Loser! You're a loser!
Molly Howard recaps the night in sports betting in Win Some, Lose Some.
The Westbrook prop has moved, by the way. No longer available. Good night. AC Milan yesterday, plus 550. Champions League, some big upsets. And Lisbon, plus 250. Beat Man City and pummel them as well. NHL, Carolina, 275 up to $3. Winnipeg, 195 up to 220. The Jets are 12-1 on the season.
Pretty good.
Like last year, great start. Be even better this year.
Yeah.
Let's get it done playoff time now. College hoops, these huge favorites continue to cover. Texas Tech, 27.5 up to 32.5, won by 33. BYU, 29.5 up to 34, won 88 to 50. And in the football game, Bowling Green under 53 down to 48.5. Subscribe, be part of the team, VSiN.com, our radio and podcast friends. You always want to see these tweets and videos. Look at the Corgi. Paulie Does Vegas on Instagram, by the way. Send them in. We'll put you on like the one viewer did here. The Corgi chasing the trash. Windy day is coming around, and look at all the trash out front.
Is that Toto?
Yes, right. Look at him. That's a great exercise there. And then the other guy comes in too, walking the dog. That is fun. Volume up for this one. You got the two dogs playing, right? And the little puppy is barking at the big fella, right? Give me your toy, huh? You want to play? You want a piece of me, right? You know, the guy's, his head's bigger than this guy. And then, right. How good is that? The big dog says, okay, watch this. That's a real bark. And the little guy falls over. He's so scared. There it is. He's like, leave me alone. It's my toy. Leave me alone. He barks at him. And the other guy's so freaked out, he does a somersault and falls over. That's intimidation, baby. Intimidation. You got to get those reps in. Exercise is key. Live right. Feel good. Look at the dog doing his exercises, watching the people on TV stand up, squat, sit down. Oh, it's him. I thought that was a human. Okay, he's watching himself.
It's a human and a dog.
Oh, okay.
So they made a video of it, and oh, wow, okay.
That is smart. Is that a Doberman? That's incredible how smart that dog is, mimicking what's going on the TV with the exercises. Strong. A-plus to everyone here at Circa. Number one, I asked them to put up a prop. How many teams in college football will go undefeated, counting the championship game?
Oh, counting the championship game.
Yeah, because there's five left regular season. It's not, I want to count championship Saturday. Nick's on it. So I mentioned the prop that DraftKings has up with the Chiefs. 7-1 to go undefeated. 18-1 here. They put it up yesterday. Great job. 18-1 will the Chiefs go 17-0. Great job by the guys here. Excellent. Lose some. Bowling Green, 10 up to 16. Yeah? You put it on TV, people will watch and bet it. We got getting carried away. I wanted 10 or 11. Now we got to 16, and they won by 10 with the late touchdown. But that was, look at that move on a MAC game. Miami of Ohio, 10.5 up to 13.5. Guess what? They're betting the favorites again tonight. Doesn't end. Hoops, Florida International, Rice over, 147 up to 151, 77-70. Arizona State, Idaho over, 139.5 up to 144.5, 55-48. Washington, 12.5 up to 15, 1 by 6. BYU over, 148.5 up to 155. They did their part, no help, 88 to 50. I like the random stuff on social media that comes across. And I love Fight Club. Love that movie. When Fight Club premiered at the 1999 Venice Film Festival, it got booed hard by the audience. Ed Norton said, as it was happening, Brad Pitt turned to him and said, this is the best movie I'm ever going to be in.
Yeah, and it probably has been.
And David Fincher's awesome, too. And then they got an award, Best Guy movie or whatever it was, and they read the reviews on stage. It was hilarious.
Actually, you know, Brad Pitt, his
critics
history,
hated it. That's a good movie.
It's probably tough to rank his like top five movies. He's been in a ton of great flicks.
Yeah, we got
to
do that.
I would say his performance overall, though, in Fight Club has to be number one.
Yes, Tyler Durden.
What he would was Tyler incredible. Durden
do? Yes, awesome performance. I'm with you. Loved it. One more thing, too. You know, talking about Kornacki and John King and how they can do this stuff and go back to what Trump did or whoever did in 2016. All this technology right at your fingertips, and I got Dabo twice kicking an extra point down 13. Like, that's $1 billion in the NFL.
Oh, we got
Dabo makes, what, $9 million a year, and he doesn't know a simple third-grade math about, I gotta go for two there to cut it to 11?
Same game on Saturday. Nick Sirianni goes for it on 4th-and-1 at the 25-yard line. Rather than kicking the field goal, no tush push, by the way, it was an incomplete pass. And then same guy later on trots Elliott out for a 57-yard field goal.
Yeah.
Same situation.
You're right. You ever get red hot betting and think your picks are worth money? Juice Reel, changing the way sports bettors buy and sell betting advice. You and everyone else links their accounts into Juice Reel. All your history loads into the free app. Everyone's bets imported straight from the books. You're as good as your betting data says you are. Unlock the picks real talented bettors have their money on. Get paid real money when other people unlock your picks. Fully transparent betting advice from real people only on Juice Reel. R-E-E-L. Download for free, iPhone or Android. Grab it, download it, get it. Juice Reel.
All right, so we got a question on X. You can always tweet us there at VSIN Live, at Mitch Moss Radio, at Paulie Howard, saying that the Buddy Hield 3-point prop earlier was a minus 145. I hope it wasn't 2.5 you were looking at, but if you were saying 3.5, maybe here's why it changed, and now he's plus 165 to go over 3.5 tonight. But, you know, Curry's going to be playing in this game tonight. Curry came back the other night and played at Washington. Hield only took 8 attempts. He made 3 of them. But when Curry played early in the season before he got hurt in the Clippers game, Hield in those spots had 22 points on 5 of 7 shooting from downtown. He had 27 points against Utah, 7 of 9. And then when Curry was out, 28 points, 7 of 11, 21 points, 4 of 12, 27 points, 6 of 10 from downtown. So if he's getting that many shots, mm-hmm. if he can still do it with Curry coming back, I think you got to bet it over at the plus price.
I'm fine with the attempts. I have no problem with that. I'm riding Buddy Hield here.
What about the angle here where Boston puts the screws to him tonight? No, I'm saying Hield might just be out there just down by 20 the whole time saying, screw it, I'm just going to keep going bombs away.
Yeah. I think Boston could bury him. Absolutely.
Yeah.
What do you think of the Maction?
Okay, so good breakdown. Adam Burke, VSIN.com. Northern Illinois versus Western Michigan game. The Broncos have won 4 straight. However, mm-hmm. their wins are against Ball State, Akron, Buffalo, and Kent State. As he pointed out, probably the lowest rated teams on a power rating scale in the entire conference.
They opened the favorite in this game.
That's right.
Northern Illinois up to 2.5. Also, Notre Dame checking in at 10. That was a horrible loss, getting beat by Northern Illinois, who is now 4-4.
Yeah.
They beat Notre Dame. They're 4-4 on the road.
They lost to Ball State 25-23. They were -4 in turnover margin. They also lost to Toledo. They did outgain them by more than 100 yards. But I think this is a bizarre move to me.
Well, it's people just love betting the favorites, though. Or the brand name here, because they know Northern Illinois beat Notre Dame. So just like last night, 6-point move, 3.5-point move, 3-point move here. There's a two-point move in the Ohio game. Just let's bet the favorites here. But it's always a tough, with these MAC games, it seems like the dogs are always barking. I understand that Kent State, though. I mean, Kent State might be the worst team in college football.
Of course, yeah. They're
horrendous. Doing, so I go take them out.
Is there anything that you like in these two games tonight, then?
No, I don't.
Would you lean the Broncos?
Yeah, I mean, you want to question the competition, but still, I think they can win this game with a good offense. And during that streak, 34 points per game. So trying to get to 5-0 in conference play, I don't mind taking the 3 if it gets there. And I don't want any part of Kent State. These numbers are just look away. 0-8 straight up, we know that. They've allowed 50 points in 5 of the 8 games. They're 122 passing offense, 132 rushing offense, 129 scoring. They started out where they couldn't cover a game, too, and then they backdoored someone a couple weeks ago as well.
Right.
So this team is just an abomination.
You mentioned this earlier. Mike Palm's going to be in studio. That comes up at 5:30 Eastern time today, 2:30 out here on the West Coast. And he, Derek Stevens, a bunch of people here at Circa, they were on the Smurf Turf up in Boise last Friday watching. I wonder if that changes opinion at all on Boise State. When you watch a team right there, you have the access, you're in person, you see everything that's happening. Like, does he all of a sudden think that Boise is a possible contender here in the playoff? That number now moved to what, minus 230 in that range for them to actually make it?
No, that's higher than that. It's $3.
$3 now?
$2.50, yeah.
I think we should also be able to bet on what seed these teams are going to get.
Oh, I like that.
I would love to be able to have a book post up right now, like, where's Boise going to land? But basically, or you could just put up a prop, will they get a bye? Will the Broncos get a bye week in the college football playoff? That would be a tremendous prop to have up.
Over-under seed. Yeah, that's well done. Over-under seed position. Odds to get what position? Yeah, how many conferences? How many bids per conference? All of that. Oh, you could have a field day.
The lowest seed to host a game is the 8 seed. So basically, you could put up, will they get over, under 8.5 for a seed? Like, would they give them a home game? Up next, Sal Palantonio, ESPN. He has some strong numbers on the Thursday night game. Find out what they are next here on VSiN.